I mentioned a few weeks ago the topic of repentance, that God is bringing us all to repentance. I'm dealing with this over here in Taiwan, and I'll give you an example. There's a girl. A mom and dad came to me, and they said, "We don't know how to get our girl to do any work at all." So I said, "Well, let me try." So I've been around this girl for about 2 years, and I said, we're going to tell her no, and if she cries, then she's, we're just going to ignore it. We're not, going to run up and comfort her and hug her. "It's okay. You're fake crying, and I'm going to obey everything you want, little girl, and tell you it's okay." Look, you talk to any teacher who's been in the classroom for 10 years, and they'll tell you the same thing. Kids cry without reason. So we've got a situation. Okay, a few years go by. I do this with the parents, and eventually the parents figure out it's okay to tell their little girl no. Now, what's happening as a result is the little girl fake cries less. She obeys more quickly, a lot more often. And the parents don't acquiesce and placate. And the parents they don't get as angry. And they don't have a problem quickly saying, "No, I told you, do it now." Raise their voice quick, done, over, finish, move on. Everyone's happy. The whole thing, it's less drama. People clip right along. See, sometimes the little girl will repent, but she's not shamed and destroyed. Okay, I shouldn't do this. All right, she changes, moves on. That's repentance. The Bible, the book of Enoch, calls it repentance unto hope. In the Bible, the concept of godly repentance means that it's an emotional change of mind. It's a change of heart and mind. Emotionally, you feel, "I am never doing that again." God repented after the flood. It doesn't mean he admitted guilt. It doesn't mean he said it was wrong. God doesn't do evil. The Bible says, confess your sins and repent. It's two steps for us. We did wrong and have to admit it. Second, we've got to have the change of heart and mind. Well, God didn't do anything wrong with the flood, but he didn't like it and didn't want to do it again. And so God said, "I am never doing this again. I'm putting the rainbow as a promise, Noah. No more flood to destroy the whole earth." And God will do anything to keep things from getting that far. Talked about that yesterday. In America, how did things get this far? Well, if we're going to stop things from getting this far, we've got to learn to say no. We've got to draw a line in the sand. We've got to have certain rules. As I said in the podcast weekly, we've got to have certain things that we don't allow. Companies need to say no to the unions at some point or another. Unlike General Motors, which just plays the doormat, whatever you want, walk on me. Yeah, well, then eventually the way they say no to the unions is to just downsize them. They didn't know how to say no to the Teamsters unions, so they just outsourced to Mexico. And they still said no to the unions in the end, but it was really ugly and hideous, and everybody lost. So, I suppose not the Mexicans. They won some things. But then again, if you're in Mexico, do you really want to be proud that you're employed by America because your own country can't make good stuff? Wouldn't it be better to be Mexican and be employed by something that's a Mexican-owned company? Wouldn't that be great? I mean, if I was American, I wouldn't want to be employed by a Chinese company or even a Canadian company. I'd want to be employed by a company from my own country. Taiwanese love being employed by Taiwanese companies. I suppose being employed by an American company is kind of cool. But I don't know. If I worked, I wanted to be for my own people. I don't want to work for some foreign company. So did General Motors employing the Mexicans really help those Mexicans have dignity? Yeah, I mean, in some ways it's helpful, but what is the real solution? What is it that we really need? Well, we're not going to find out without repentance. God is in the business of repentance. Why don't things get fixed right now, right away? Because God wants everything perfect. And perfect means we all repent of all of our stupidity. And you and I both have plenty of stupidity that we can still repent of. We've got plenty. And I would rather that God keep giving me trouble than for him to give me all kinds of happy, 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 la-la utopia where I never have to repent of my problems. In God's book, perfection means that we've all repented. Now, I'm watching this happen over here in Taiwan. I know I see stuff happening in America from a distance. I've seen it before while I was there. Repentance involves some sort of a decisive action. Someone says no. Someone has a sit down. In the AA, they call it an intervention meeting. You grab someone by the shoulders, politely but strongly, and you say a few things directly into the person's face. And the person has to listen. And that can really help change a lot of things. But to a pacifist, to a placator, to someone that's never known godly repentance, repentance unto hope, they've never known that repentance can be a good thing. You grab someone by the shoulders and that placator pacifist is watching, they'll turn into a slime monster and just start flapping and batting everything, making a big fat mess because they think that you're hurting the person. As God is in the business of repentance, he will not allow anyone to stand in the way. He will not allow obstructionists. Now, you go look around at the people in your life who always seem to have trouble. You go give a good look at it. You will find that the people that have strange trouble in their lives and families, somewhere or another, have enabled people to not repent when they should, or they've gotten in the way when someone's coming with a loving intervention meeting, or someone's going to grab someone by the shoulders and tell them a few things to help that person. The people have trouble getting in the way of that. They don't do it themselves. They help stuff to continue without repenting, or they get in the way when someone else is in the process of it. Do not obstruct repentance. Do not obstruct that work. Instead, be a part of it. See the value of repentance, and you'll see why everything's happening in America as it is. Because so many hearts are repenting for stupid decisions. It's not the results that God's mostly concerned about. He's concerned about results. He is, indeed. But not firstly. Firstly, and mostly, God wants our hearts to make the right decisions that will lead to those good results which he wants for us. But it's a heart issue, and that's where God's work is. Repentance in the heart. Repentance is like the popping of a pine cone. A pine cone has to pop open before it's able to grow. That's why forest fires clear out the hardwoods, and then the first stage of a recovering forest is the pine trees. The pine cones survive until the forest fire, but they have to pop open in order for them to grow. And that's what repentance basically does. It allows our hearts to pop open and they enlarge. Our hearts get much bigger. Our capacity to love increases. And then we're able to make good decisions. And then from there on out, it's like we become new people. And of course, being new people, we have new lives and new results. See you next week.